Right, good evening. Silence falls. Thank you, Angus. Welcome to the Royal West of England Academy. You took the right step. You've taken the wrong step. You could have been in a life drawing class this evening. This is not that. If anybody thinks this is the life drawing class, you're going to be disappointed. It is a meeting for Emmanuel X, which already some people think might be our official name. They're very excited. What could potentially be one of the coolest names ever invented at the moment? Emmanuel X is just a draft name, just to make that clear. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to be asking a few big questions that you probably want to be answered as you consider whether Emmanuel X would be right for you. And so I'm going to ask those big questions, and then we're going to have a chance for you to ask me any questions about this crazy venture, and then about 9:30, we should all head home, having also hopefully prayed for each other and for Emmanuel X. I hope you're looking forward to what's coming up. Before we do anything else, shall I lead us in a prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this chance to get together tonight to think about your call on our lives and whether it would be part of that call for us to get involved in Emmanuel X and to serve you in a new context so that we can reach new people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for real discernment. We pray for your Spirit's help. We pray for each other. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First obvious question to ask ourselves tonight is, why are we here? You might have already asked yourself that question as you came in this room. Why am I here? Why am I here thinking about Emmanuel X? And behind me is, in some ways, I hope, part of the answer to the question. And if you come across this painting, the Lamb of God, it's part of the centrepiece of a massive exhibition there was at the National Gallery in the year 2000, celebrating 2,000 years since Jesus' death. And it's obviously picking up on a powerful bit of biblical imagery. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to earth to take away the sins of the world, to take away the sins of people like you and me. And so if we were to ask the question, why are we here tonight? One answer would be this picture. The fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, emptied himself, came down to this world and was willing to become a sacrificial lamb for us, for you and for me. He was willing to do that for us. Obviously, this picture is picking up on imagery that we get throughout the Bible, but perhaps particularly in Isaiah chapter 53. So let me read some well-known verses. And as I read them, look at this picture as a visual reminder of these amazing truths about Jesus. Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers in silence, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus Christ exchanged heaven so that he might die on a cross for us. This is a visual representation of what took place, of the significance of what was happening. But it's a reminder, isn't it, hopefully to all of us, as to one of the main reasons we're here. We're here, I hope, because Jesus was willing to leave the comfort of heaven, and I hope that as a result of that, that's why we're willing to leave the comparative comforts of Westbury or Ashley Down. because Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself for you, you're willing to sacrifice yourself for others by being part of something that is new and risky, and others quite know exactly what shape it will take. And I just want to see sort of straight up right at the beginning of this process of trying to work out, trying to discern whether Emmanuel X will be right for you. I want you to be really, really clear of this, that if you are going to be part of this church, it's going to mean following Jesus' example or sacrificing yourself for others. So if you're just here simply because you think this church will be more comfortable for you than Emmanuel Ashley Down or Emmanuel Westbury, you've really come to the wrong place. The whole point of this church plant is to make ourselves uncomfortable, to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of other people. And the one promise I can make you this evening is that church planting will be an uncomfortable and a hard and a process that involves a huge amount of self-sacrifice for anybody in this room who wants to be part of it. And so just right at the start, one of the big questions we're going to have to ask ourselves is, are we up for that? Are we up for that in the light of this? And are we doing this because of this? Why are we here? I hope Jesus is at the centre of our motivation, of our reasons this evening. Why are we here? He's the answer. Okay, why are we talking about self-sacrifice? Why are we talking about things being uncomfortable? You were quite excited, you know, when I started 5 minutes ago or so. You're now all depressed and wanting to go home. This meeting doesn't seem to be going particularly well. Why are we talking about self-sacrifice? Why are we talking about a church plant being uncomfortable for us? Well, just remember the vision that was shared on the church day for both Emmanuel X and Emmanuel Y, that we're trying to plant churches that are reaching people that are not coming to Westbury, that are not coming to Ashley Down at the moment. Which means we're talking about reaching people who are not like us, who are not comfortable at those churches, as we, most of us, are. So it is going to involve quite a degree of self-sacrifice for us to put ourselves in a situation where we're not thinking what is comfortable for me, but we're thinking what is comfortable for them. Not what will benefit me, but what will help other people come to know and love Jesus. And if you're on the church day, you'll probably remember our six characters looking for a church. Six characters looking for a church. If you remember, there was Richard, young professional, just moved to Clifton. And we reckon that he would perhaps find it hard to come to either Westbury or Ashley Down because of the lack of many other single young professionals in both those churches. And probably because of the timings as well. Away at the weekends a lot, 10:30, 4 o'clock, not particularly good times for him. We thought, didn't we, about Steve and Jenny, who were a childless couple in their mid-40s, lived in Redlands. We thought about how difficult it would be for them to come to churches like Ashley Down and Westbury that have loads of kids, which is great, but quite painful for them. And again, at the timings, perhaps wouldn't work for them away a lot at the weekends. If you remember, I'd done that great research on popular Chinese names, and I came up with Li Jing, who was a Chinese PhD student who lived in Clifton. We thought it would be quite hard for her to come to Westbury or Ashley Down just because of the geography of the city, how far away they are, and how imposing our buildings are, how difficult it is to find Redmaids or find the City of Bristol College and then head down the drive and find the right door. We thought about Katie, and a lot of people have been talking about Katie, because if you remember, she was the arty student. That has caused a lot of discussion around the place. And we talked about one of the issues at Ashley Down and Westbury being when they're not particularly arty. And a lot of sort of questions coming from that and questions that might come from that this afternoon, this evening. And we need to think through, we just need to be honest that we don't get many arty people at the moment. And we thought about Alex, who was a politics student, used to traditional sort of church-going, part of a church-going family, traditional church at home, living in Clifton. And again, just what we've got on offer at the moment being too far away and potentially not being churchy enough for someone like him. And we said that the challenge is for us to plant a church that's comfortable for people like them. And by and large, although I recognise there's some exceptions, they're not people like us. And therefore, there's going to be a degree of self-sacrifice. This might well be an uncomfortable process for us. What's really excited me over the last few weeks since the church days, hearing of people who've come up to me and said, I have got friends like them. I've got friends like them who, you know, for some reason overlap with one of those people, some of those categories, and it's been great to get a sense of excitement from people in this room and others that you've got friends who this church would or could potentially reach. And so what I want us to do now for a moment is just basically to name those friends. It'd be good, wouldn't it? I've made up some people, and we could try and reach out to Ed's fictional friends for quite a long time. What it'd probably be quite good is to actually start thinking about our real friends and the sort of people we think might well engage with the sort of church we're talking about. So you'll notice that inevitably, in true Emmanuel style, there are some things that are going to remain unchanging. We have post-it notes. And you should have both a post-it note and a pen near you. And what I want you to do is, on that post-it note, write the names of two or three people you hope that this church will manage to reach out to. Perhaps two or three people you've had, or perhaps even just one person you've had on your heart as we started discussing it, thinking, this would be great for Basil. Or this would be great for... And then what I want you to do, just having written that name, or those names, just turn, see somebody sitting next to you, get yourself into a sort of pair and buzz for a few moments, and just explain why you think the sort of thing we've been talking about would be good for that friend, for those friends. Let's get talking about real people and how you think this sort of thing might work for them. A few minutes to do that. Do introduce yourself if you haven't met before as well, but share those names. Names of people in Bristol and just share the names, which may not be so useful, but what will be useful will be to share some of the reasons why you think friends of yours might engage, might feel more comfortable at the sort of church. What are some of the reasons that your friends might connect to the sort of thing you're talking about? What were the why reasons? Any why reasons you came up with?
Location.
Thank you.
And distance.
Yep. Other things.
Timing, the evening service might suit better.
Yep.
Potential of having, a good number of non-British faces and people to interact with who aren't necessarily British.
Yep, so the whole international sort of feel, loving together. Yep. Other reasons why?
Smaller, less intimidating.
Yep, smaller.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Potential new Christians might want somewhere that's not imposing.
Yeah.
Back in Michigan or something like that.
Yeah. Other things. Any other reasons why?
A more creative approach. Perhaps more engaging to people with creative minds.
Yeah. Some more creative approach, yeah.
Other things.
Yes, unconventional people. Yeah. Which would be great. Yeah. We wouldn't want everybody wearing chinos and check shirts, would we? For instance. we really would not. I'm looking forward to the chance to go and buy a whole new wardrobe. many of you might contribute towards that. Any other thoughts?
Your jacket.
Any other thoughts on why? Reasons why?
Social class.
Such a posh accent. any other things? At all. That's really helpful. Okay. Those are sort of challenges, aren't they? And those are some of the exciting things, is to connect with people from different classes, different backgrounds, to think through how we can be more creative and appeal to creative people, as well as, in some ways, some of the more sort of pragmatic things, like just a time and a different location that will help people. But good to hear that you've got friends that fit my imaginary friends. That is something that perhaps boosts our confidence a little bit at this stage. So those are the sort of people we want you to reach. You've thought about them. We've named them. How are we going to do that? And this is this sort of This is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And this is the point when I'm in a really difficult position. Because if I say too little tonight about the sort of thing we're going to try and do, it won't give you enough, as it were, to make a commitment. And you'll be saying that we need more details before we commit. But if I say too much, you're obviously sitting there thinking, I've sorted that already, what it doesn't need us. This is one of these churches where, you know, the pastor comes in and tells everybody what to do and there's no democracy, or, you know, we are not going to get our input on how this works. So, a narrow line to walk between not telling you enough and telling you too much. And I'm really, really keen that Emmanuel, because we're trying to do something which I don't think any of us really quite know how we're going to do it, I'm really keen that we're working together on it. And you need to know that I'm pretty clueless on this, and therefore we are going to need to work together, and, you know, we're going to need to help each other on this one. But, that all said, I can say hopefully some things that are going to reassure you now, or drive you away, and to be honest, either result's fine. Okay? Key question might be in many people's minds, what is going to be the same as Ashley down in Westbury? What's going to be the same? Clearly, use of post-it notes is going to be the same. That would be a reassurance for a number of you. But also, the core things. So what do we do at Emmanuel Westbury and Ashley Down? We teach the Bible and we seek to apply the Bible into people's lives today. We worship God together in ways that we hope equips us to worship God with the rest of our lives. We have question times. We have small groups. We pray together. And we seek to share our lives together so that we can encourage each other in the Christian life and so we can draw other people in. And those are all things that the Bible tells us that as Christians we need to do. They're non-negotiables for us in the Christian life, and they're non-negotiables for a Christian church. So we're going to be doing those things. There are churches that try and be alternative, and in trying to be alternative, sort of been a lot of what the Bible says a church should do. And reassure anybody that's thinking that's the sort of thing Ed Shaw might do, Ed Shaw's not going to be doing anything that involves binning what the Bible says a church should do. So we're going to be doing all those similar things that you get at Ashdown and you get at Westbury. In fact, you get at any Bible-centred church anywhere in the world today. Okay? We're going to be doing the things the Bible tells us we should be doing. But we will be doing things differently to Ashdown and Westbury. So in some ways, the packaging will be different. How we do those things will be different. Emmanuel X. Different timings, perhaps the most obvious thing. So we've been talking, haven't we, about Sunday evening, and I think that's probably the most likely time. Sometime after 6 o'clock, you know, latest time, who knows how late we could go, but probably not that late, bearing in mind that it's school the next day, or university, or job, whatever we've got. Possibility that we might go to like a Monday evening, Sunday evening, for some reason, was impossible. But probably is a bit of a last resort. Sunday evening would be where we would want to sort of perhaps land, I think, at the moment. Location-wise, we're sort of at the heart of the location we're talking about. One of the reasons we're meeting here is both so we're meeting at an arty building, and secondly, that we're in the sort of, this is the heart of the sort of zone we're looking at. So we're thinking of White Ladies Road. I don't even watch direction that way. Where's the front of this building? We can all point different directions. White Ladies Road and Park Street would be the sort of something off the White Ladies Road Park Street. Again, if you know, if we really struggle to find a place on the White Ladies Road Park Street, we might head a little bit down into the city centre, but probably like to be in this sort of area. The fact that we're having a meeting in this place should not be seen as significant in any shape or form. I've already got an agenda which I'm trying to sort of get you on. It's just the building. So, different timings, new location. But we'll also be thinking of different ways of doing Bible teaching and application, worship together, question time, small groups, prayer, fellowship. Different ways of doing those things. Thinking through how could we do those differently in a way that might help those friends we've been thinking about, might help them feel more comfortable, and as a result might help them connect with Jesus Christ. Just trying to think through, how can we do those things in different ways that help the friends we've just been thinking about connect with Christ? And so what we're going to do now is think about that a little bit. We're not going to come up with all the answers now, but I just want us to begin to think about ways in which we could do those core activities differently and in different ways and in a different context and perhaps in different buildings that will engage with those frames in a way that we're not engaging at Ashley Down at Westfield at the moment. Okay? So turn over your post-it notes, or if you were economical and you're used to the post-it notes, you might still have some space. If you didn't have many friends, you might still have some space. And what I want you to do is think of some ways, think of some imaginative ways we can do the same things differently. And just before you start writing things down, just to show that we've got to get used to doing things slightly differently and being comfortable, I want you to draw it. Okay? So I want you to draw a picture of if there's something that's going to be different to reach out to the sort of people we want to reach out to do those core things in a different way. Get the exercise? Have fun, do a bit of drawing, and then show off your piece of artwork to the person sitting next to you so they can have a good laugh or encourage you. Sign up for courses on your way out to improve your artistic skills. But it'd be lovely to hear, if not perhaps necessarily see, some of the ideas we've thought about as to how we could engage, how we could do those core things differently in a way that would reach out to the sort of friends we can talk about. Ideas. I love input, because this is the sort of thing that we're going to have to be thinking about together over the next few months. Go for it.
Drama.
Thank you.
Having prayer time at the end of service.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Chinese Bibles.
Tea light.
Thank you.
Sitting on a table instead of sitting in rows.
Yep.
A glass of wine on the way in. Maybe on the way out.
It's good to see you've got this, putting other people's comfort before yourself already. Brilliant, thank you. I'm keeping a list of people who are definitely out of the running. thank you. Other contributions?
Yeah, one more. On the subject of having people on your list, I know you said that in jest. But having people who are leading groups and stuff who are not the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Having new faces.
Yeah. Not the usual suspects. Thank you.
And print out a passage and so you can annotate it.
Yeah.
Lyrics on the screen,
less handouts.
Lyrics on screens. Very cool.
Texting questions.
No person.
Has anybody seen my mobile phone?
Thank you.
Liturgy
for the church people.
So liturgy for the church people.
Having some sort of visual changes to words as well.
Yeah.
Reflective moments.
Even something called silence.
More visual paperless,
yeah.
Christian rap.
Time for an open-ended philosophical discussion, either join the service or start a small group.
Yeah.
Some people might find it easier to connect with God with slightly more modern upbeat worship.
Yeah.
Although traditional friends of mine would probably like
Williams. Yeah, so this is going to be part of the fun, isn't it? Because we're going to have to think, ooh. Yeah.
Lots of short services for our
okay.
I thought, as well as having a service on a Sunday, you could have like an informal meeting, maybe like at a bar or something in the week.
Yeah.
So that if like had a friend who was put off by the sort of the concept of church, you could have to that instead of sort of like a prequel to coming to church.
Yeah.
church in Brighton, whereas every church and pub.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a pub, like, somewhere that's not, like, as full as a church or something.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, Anne.
Small group in the pub before church?
Yeah.
So it's not the usual.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, somebody. Glenn. McLean.
We were trying to think what stirs or moves the emotions as well as the intellect.
Yeah.
Thinking of Jonathan Edwards, you know, stirring the affections, and certainly attention paid to aesthetic, whether that's visual aesthetic or musical aesthetics, you know, music that stirs the emotions and allows some sort of expression, even as well as visual aesthetics that elevate the emotions and complement the word in that.
So for instance, we might want to actually think quite carefully about the sort of building we want to use. You know, a room like this, not particularly beautiful, but there might be a more beautiful building we can use nearby that might help do that. Yeah. Other thoughts?
International small groups, or even small groups that are in Chinese.
Yeah.
Instead of going through a Bible book, go through a theme in the Bible like we did the Trinity.
Yeah.
Real drums.
It's a lack of personal agenda that thank you. Somebody else.
Accountability
thanks.
Triplets to go deeper than school.
Yeah.
Jazz.
Any other things?
Like interpretation of sermons, like spontaneous.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Take battery out of the clock.
Battery out of the clock.
So don't kind of do away with the kind of form structure. Yeah. Tied to timings.
You're open to the
Sorry, we missed that. We were talking.
To
we were
busy
talking.
There's a lesson for you. There was a question about. Paul said about not always watching the clock. And
yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Be more open to the gifts of the Spirit.
Spirit, yeah. Any final things?
More expression in worship, so if you want to wave flags or paint or things like that. Have you ever had to that?
Yeah. Now I hope is everybody beginning to feel slightly uncomfortable? I hope everybody's had at least one or two things that's made them think, oh my goodness, I'm out of here. You know, that is part of the point. We are not going to do all of those things. There might be some of those things that we decide not to do because of some biblical thinking, or because actually we find, you know, as we investigate all of this, we think we're trying to reach too many people and we need to narrow it a little bit. But I'm hoping we're all just beginning to feel slightly uncomfortable because we're beginning to think about how we can reach people who are not like us, which will mean us being uncomfortable, us sacrificing things. Doesn't mean we've been what the Bible says, doesn't mean we don't have everything we do shaped by God's words, but does mean that there might be some different ways of doing it that take each of us beyond comfort zones. Okay, and that's probably a pretty good illustration of that. Thank you very much for all those things. I'm just going to see whether I've got anything else to add. I don't think I have, and we've covered everything. I was thinking about. Another thing that just might be worth us chatting to my brother-in-law, who lives in Edinburgh, so he's not sort of easy recruit for the church. But I think another thing which we haven't touched on would be being a place where people very easily can share doubts and questions. I think that sort of ties in perhaps with some of the stuff we've been talking about. But it's sometimes something we're not very good at doing. I might be something else we want to throw into the mix. It's going to be challenging, isn't it? It's going to be challenging to think how we do this, to think what the sort of boundaries are, what will stop us from doing some things, what might start us doing some of those things, how much we can do out of all that, what the limits are, and you know whether we will need to have a bit more of a focus as to who we're trying to reach. But those are some of the sort of things we should be considering, and we will be considering as we work together on this, if you're up for joining us. Time for questions in a moment. But first of all, it might be worth thinking about what does success look like? Before you embark on anything, it's worth thinking actually what will success look like? Well, obviously, one of the main things we want to happen is for people who don't yet know Jesus, the set of people we've put on those pieces of paper to know Jesus. And in some ways, that is the greatest measure of success, that what we dream and be praying about, wouldn't it? Because some of those names on pieces of paper in front of you this evening to be part of this church in 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 years' time. I don't know about you, but that's the sort of success we're long for and be praying for. But you know, you might think, well, that is quite a long-term sort of aim. Here's my sort of short-term aim, and it's quite an interesting one. I would hope that at the end of our first church meeting, all of us leave feeling slightly uncomfortable. In different ways, because there have been different things that made different ones of us slightly uncomfortable. But if we don't all leave the first meeting feeling slightly uncomfortable, I think we'll have failed. If we've just come up with a church that makes everybody in this room feel really happy and comfortable, that would be a bit of a failure. So, back to this idea of us sacrificing ourselves for others, of it being uncomfortable for us, as we walk away from the first church meeting, we'll all be going, oh, wasn't quite sure whether, or, you know, that wasn't really my style, or something like that. Because we're doing things deliberately, not to reach out to us, but to reach out to other people. Okay? Loads of unanswered questions, loads of things we're probably thinking, loads of concerns we've probably got. Come back to those in a moment. But for now, final question from me, which I'm going to answer, which is, when are we going to do this? And this might even be the time to get your diaries out, if you've got them, because I'm hoping, God willing, that we'll be able to launch Emmanuel X on Sunday the 7th of September. Sunday the 7th of September. Okay, so that's not long. It means we've got March to August to make this happen, and to start praying and start planning with that date in mind. During that time, what are the sort of things on our to-do list? Well, obviously there's individual decisions to make. People in this room, other people who can't make it tonight, who are interested. Individual decisions to make. We've got to do things like we've got to find a venue. We've got to see what gifts that God has given us. We'll have a group of people, and we've got to sort of see what gifts has God given us to make up this particular body of his people. And we'll have to do a lot of thinking about our values and the culture we want this church to have. What are the boundaries of that? What are the things we're happy with? What are the things we're not happy with? We'll want to think about the shape of our church meetings in particular. And put quite a lot of effort into thinking freshly about what a church meeting at Emmanuel X might look like. We'll want to be deciding the pattern of small groups. And particularly perhaps thinking about, somebody I think you mentioned earlier, whether they need to go midweek in most cases, and bearing in mind who we're trying to reach. Once we've got a sort of list of people who have signed up, I think what's probably going to happen, this isn't totally certain, but this is something like this is going to happen, is that once we know who's coming, the steering team of Emmanuel Bristol, so the elders as they exist at the moment, will appoint some elders for our church to sort of lead us through the first year or so. So that it's not just Ed Shaw, because let's just be honest, that would be pretty miserable for me and pretty miserable for you. So there'll be some other people, as it were, taking on hopefully servant leadership in the church family. And then that group will then sort of be involved in appointing small group leaders, as we also have conversations about, you know, what various gifts we've got in this room and who would best be in which team and who might best lead those teams. So those are all the sort of things that will be on the to-do list for Emmanuel X when we get going. What is the next step? This meeting is called Next Step, so it's probably quite helpful to know what it is. 30th of April is the sort of deadline by which we're hoping that people in the Emmanuel Church family across both Emmanuel, Ashley Down and Westbury will let the relevant person know which church they're committing to come the autumn. Whether that's Emmanuel Ashley Down, or Emmanuel Westbury, or Emmanuel X, or Emmanuel Y. So end of April. If you can let people know beforehand, that would be great. That would be a great encouragement for people leading. But obviously, 30th gives us a bit of time after the last of the meetings that we're going to be at. The last of the meetings on the 24th of April. It's the Emmanuel Ashley Down meeting. Then a bit of time, as it were, after that, to, as it were, ping an email, ring me up, text me, or somebody else, and say, up for what you're planning want to be on board that. So just sort of, that's worth sort of having in your mind. And I think because I believe in striking while the iron's hot, the next sort of meeting of the people that are gathered together to plan Emmanuel X and to pray for Emmanuel X will be on the 30th of April. They get straight in there. So that would be another date to sort of have in your diary. Okay? I think that is everything I'm supposed to say. Apart from, if you do want to talk more with me, it's probably worth you knowing that I'm emigrating. No, I'm going to the States for most of April. So I'm around to the end of March, then I'm away for 3 weeks until the 23rd of April, and then back. So if you do want to sort of chat about this, catch me over the next couple of weeks. I'm having a great time in the States looking at churches that are trying to reach out to more often people, and also going to some conferences and seeing some family. So just worth knowing that if you do want to chat with me. Let's split back into pairs, think about questions you've got, and sort of put some ideas, and then we'll get into the question time in about 2 or 3 minutes' time. Okay? It would be lovely to hear some questions you've got, comments you'd like to make, concerns you'd like to raise. Over to you. Thank you, Harold.
How are you going to marry up this potentially slightly more formal approach to church that we can feel uncomfortable with the way it's being done currently in the other two churches with this arty, more fluid, no timing thing?
Yeah, that's
going to be our question.
It's going to be a massive challenge. Now, what we might decide is actually we're trying to do too much. We might have to say, look, we can't do both of those things, and we've got to sort of narrow the sort of who we're trying to reach, and we've got to make some decisions. Or another approach is we might deliberately vary it a little bit sometimes and have, you know, some meetings, perhaps even we might, on certain Sundays of the month, become quite Anglican, which have just a slightly different feel. That would be, so there's two ways of dealing with that problem. But also, we might have meetings where there is quite a mixture. And I think, sometimes we think you can't do both. I think there are some extremes you can't do both, but there are some times when actually you can get a mixture of both. There's a nice creative mixture. So, those would be some of the sort of, that would be some of the territory we have to sort of think about and cover, because it's clearly going to be an issue, isn't it? Thank you. Angus.
What kind of buildings are you going to look at, since there's not that many old churchy buildings left for you?
Yeah, what kind of buildings are we going to look at? I think we're going to look at, in some ways, any building in the area that will hold the sort of number of people, that we would like it to hold, which is probably up to about 100, round about there. And it's worth, there are some traditional church-like buildings in the sort of area we're talking about that don't have evening meetings. We might approach them and say, would you be up for us renting your space on a Sunday evening? There are some buildings which are, beautiful but not church buildings that might be up for sort of rentals on a Sunday evening. And I think we'll just investigate all possibilities, but also keep thinking about the people we're trying to reach and what they might find more helpful. Again, we'll have that sort of issue where some people actually might like a traditional church building, some might like something very contemporary and different. Again, where they might have to narrow our focus a bit. But I think the good thing about this area of Bristol is quite a few buildings. And also, when we're thinking about a church that meets in the evening, we're not, because of that, as we raise in the church today, it's not going to be a sort of crushing children's work. So therefore, we're looking for one big room rather than one big room and a whole series of rooms, which makes the task, you can quote this back at me, when we're having to meet a tent on the dance, I think makes the task slightly easier. Famous last words. Chen.
Are we in danger of it all feeling a bit fake? And what I mean by that is,
try to reach certain peoples that at our expense and us feeling uncomfortable, that we end up with a thing that kind of doesn't reflect the people that we are.
Yeah.
And if we are in that danger,
yeah,
how do we look out for that?
Yeah. So if Ed Shaw turns up on the first Sunday, having had, you know, an earpiece for no fit, and there'll be that slight sense of, you know, that's not the real Ed Shaw.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a, yeah. I think you know, we can immediately think these massive changes. I think what we might find is that there are just loads of small, subtle things we can do. Small little cultural things we can do, different language we can use, small things like, you know, engaging a little bit more with literature and poetry and art that actually aren't a sort of massively uncomfortable sort of thing for us. They don't sort of totally push us out in a way that then loses integrity. I think there's loads of smaller things we can do that will help and at the same time, you know, reach out to people, make us slightly uncomfortable, but not mean that people think, you know, this, you know, they're faking it, which I think is a good concern to have. Thanks for raising this. Andy?
What about the older gay and lesbian people in this community?
Yeah.
There are a lot of things for younger gay and lesbians and bisexual and transgender. There are a lot of people my age who are going through this phase where they want to become part of the church. They've heard the Bible thrown at them. They've had it told at them. We need to have a church in this city where people like me can come, not be told off, but not be patronised and not be faked off and stuff. We need a church. There's so many people out there crying out for love and compassion. What's your agenda, if you like? What do you see this church's position being, reaching those people, of which I'm one of them?
What we definitely want to make sure is that we don't have a church that is just all people of, you know, in their 20s and 30s who are single.
Mm.
I think what would be lovely is to have a church of as many ages as possible. And interestingly, the church that I've been part of that's had the biggest range of ages was an evening church meeting that had everybody from 14 to in their 90s. Now, there weren't, you know, people when they had young kids had to move to a different service at that church, but actually, out of all the services at that church, it was the evening one that had the biggest range. And I would really be sad if we ended up with just a lot of people at the sort of early sort of end of the age spectrum. I'd love us to have a whole mix of people from, you know, as young, you know, members of the youth group, all the way through to as old as we can get in this church family. When it comes to the whole issue of, we want to basically be like Jesus, don't we, in a compassionate and loving response to anybody who comes from anywhere with any issue. At the same time, we want to do what Jesus did, which is speak his truth into anybody from anywhere with any issue. And we want to sort of do both with absolute clarity, so that people come in and feel completely loved, but loved in the sort of way that means they know that we love them enough to confront them with the truth. That's what I'd want, and I'm sure that's what we want too. Thank you, Clint.
Slightly linked to what Chan was asking, from a different point of view, we've sort of thought a lot about the rationale for doing things differently in terms of the needs of them out there. And, of course, gathered worship has another great purpose, which is the equipping of the saints. And, you know, there is something about gathered worship which enhances and allows us together to express our devotion to God, to the Lord. And I wonder whether we ought to include in this conversation at some point, or just come clean, otherwise we'll end up projecting all what we'd like, really, from us onto them out there, you know. And just be a bit more open about some things that might help us express our worship and love for God together in a slightly different way as well. See what I mean? Just to own that rather than to avoid it.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to guard ourselves against
you know, building the church that we've always wanted in a very selfish way.
Yeah.
But we don't also want to say it has to be a completely miserable experience for it to be a valid one.
Yeah.
Which would be the other extreme.
Which would be changed.
Yeah.
In a different
yeah.
way.
And also, I think we might find, and I think this is always the pattern, isn't it, in the Christian life. And Jesus is constantly calling us to sacrifice ourselves and to take up a cross and follow him. But we're always in that, is actually in sacrificing for yourself for Jesus, you're never actually really sacrificing yourself, because, you know, he always uses that to make us more and more like him, and uses that to help us grow more and more like him. And I just suspect that us sort of doing things that are slightly new and uncomfortable for the sake of others might actually find that some of the new and uncomfortable things that we do are actually really good for us, because they engage our emotions in ways that they haven't perhaps been engaged before, and they get us to think in new ways about new things in ways that we haven't before. So I'm hoping that all of this thinking about others actually will be very good for us, because that just seems to be the dynamic. We're constantly told to sacrifice ourselves, aren't we, as Christians? But we know that actually nothing really in the end, we're never going to be losers out. And I don't think in thinking, let's try and think about others, we'll lose out. I think that should be really good for us too. Julian.
I just want to carry on the conversation that's sort of starting up between Chen and Glyn and others around.
Yep.
Authenticity, particularly. I suppose the concern is a lot of what you've been saying has been assuming that we collectively have an area we're comfortable with, and we collectively have things that we could use we wouldn't be comfortable with. And isn't it more likely that some of us have a particular concern to do something which the rest of us find a bit uncomfortable? And that's how we're going to get the blend of authenticity and discomfort, because if we all try to do something that none of us is happy with, I'm not quite sure it's going to work.
Yeah.
You need somebody behind there who really believes in it.
Yeah.
He does it because they think it expresses their love for God and their devotion and understanding of truth. So this is going to be about being tolerant of each other rather than thinking, you know, out there, can we do something that none of us likes?
Yeah.
It's going to work out there.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit implausible. So
yeah.
I might be very happy to take a very formal Anglican traditional service, and you all will have to put up with that.
Yeah. And to take another example, if we ever try and do drama and I volunteer, you've got to veto it. Because it will be embarrassing and set the cause of the gospel back for years if I'm involved in any drama. But, you know, I do like engaging with art and poetry and things like that. It will be authentic for me to do. So, yeah, there'll be a whole mix. And that'll be one of the... I think, you know, one of the things when we're thinking... Boy, there are so many different options. What is, you know, what are the things that are going to have editorial control over, as it were, what we do and what we don't do? Well, obviously, above all things will be the Bible. And if somebody comes up with an idea which we think is not something the Bible encourages to do, would undermine the gospel in any way, that'll be a clear no-no. But also, if we think, actually, we would like to do this, but we haven't got anybody that's gifted at doing that. God hasn't provided us with a gift to, you know, launch a drama group. We won't launch a drama group. And that'll be something else that perhaps had a bit of editorial control about what we do and what we don't do. Because there would be nothing worse than, you know, trying to reach out to the drama students of the city with Ed Shaw in the lead role. For instance. So, yeah, really helpful comments. Thank you. Keep them flowing.
I was trying to think why this concept wouldn't work. One thing I thought of is you've already got quite a few churches already in this area. So we're next door, we've got Victoria Methodist, and then we've got Elmer Road, and we've got Christ Church, we've got Woodlands, we've got Bedland Parish. So you've already got quite a few good churches in this area. And what are they not doing that Emmanuel X would do differently or could do to actually reach people? Where are they failing? And actually, will we start treading on people's toes and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and that might be another sort of helpful thing where we're thinking, all these ideas, what do we actually do?
Mm-hmm.
That might be something that comes in to sort of determine what we do and don't do. Yeah, thank you. I mean, one of the encouraging things is, you know, for instance, Christchurch have actually said to us, look, you know, we have got the same concern about, you know, not reaching out to some of these people. I'm actually really excited about us doing something in this area. Partly because they recognise that, you know, although there's a range of churches in this area, Emmanuel brings something new, theologically to some of what we're doing, to some of our, those sort of core things that we're doing, that will be something new, and that, you know, other churches in the area are actually excited about that, right, and, you know, encouraged by that, rather than sort of you're stepping on our territory, which is great. Matthew.
Jane has a question.
Jane, your question.
Thank you. I just wonder, in our experience, my hunch is that most of the people who come to church are Christians already, and that most of our evangelism happens outside of church, so in a, you know, Bible study group or Christianity Explored. Once people are Christians, I don't really know anyone who's not stayed a Christian because of the way church... I don't know. I just wonder whether, if we have the right church, are they going to suddenly walk off the street and come to us?
It's a good question. It's a good concern to have. I was really interested in a conversation with a family member of mine who was explaining to me... I said over a family meal, hey, me, this is what we're trying to think about being at Emmanuel. What would you, and it was really because he's somebody that's moved away from church, and has moved away from church because, for instance, you know, he was studying English and felt that there was no interaction with the sort of things he was studying, and also no way for him to sort of express doubts and questions which were looked down upon. And, you know, he talked both of himself and other people like him who, as it were pushed out of church and Christian things because loads of little sort of cultural things sort of happened, or loads of things that were sort of said that made him feel unwelcome with his questions and with the personality and the gifts and the sort of opportunities that he had.
I've had conversations with similar people who, it's not that they stop going to church entirely, but they're just far less regular because they don't quite feel they fit in. So they call themselves Christians, but they're not really stuck into a church because they can't find one that they're actually able to be themselves in.
Also, though, James' question does raise the answer of the sort of halfway house and things, because again, I think sometimes we're naive at the expectation that people will go straight from no contact with church to coming onto a church meeting, and the sort of thing that thinks about midweek, what might be a halfway house, is one of his ideas, the sort of thing that we were to think about as well. Tom has a comment?
Yeah, it's a different question.
Different, that's right.
It seems to me like there's a lot to be said for having church on a Sunday, just because you don't have particularly much else going on throughout your day. You have a bit of time to relax and actually focus on church, whereas on maybe a weekday evening you might be overloaded with thoughts of work or thoughts, you know, like, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I think, you know, Sunday would be the preference, and actually how we think about Sunday evening, timing on Sunday evening would be interesting, because I think go too late and actually people do like a bit of time on a Sunday evening to make the sandwiches for the weekend or whatever it is, you know, so it would be an issue we have to think about. Josh.
Some of the demographics we've talked about have sort of a transient leaning. So students, that's sort of the two questions. First one, finances. Will we have the finances to sort of sustain a high aesthetic building in the middle of the city? Second question is, how will we embrace that transient community and make it work?
Yeah. On the finances thing, the great thing is we're part of the Emmanuel Church family, and these four churches that hopefully exist in about a year's time are work together, and, you know, our finances and sort of structures are together, and not that that means we can do what we want, you know, on the Westbury credit card, but, you know, there's not a pressure, for instance, for us to become financially self-sustaining by ... So, you know, we would want to contribute to, you know, make meet our own costs, but also, you know, help others. But there's not that sort of, you know, the clock is not ticking. And on the transient thing, I mean, obviously, you know, just in this room, if I said, you know, how long are people going to be able to commit to, loads of people in this room perhaps only know that they're in Bristol for just another year or 2 years or 3 years. And I think one of the natures of, yeah, exactly the sort of people we've been talking about is that there will be a high degree of people moving through. And we're just going to recognise that, and that will be part of this church's life. I'm hoping alongside that, there will be some people that commit long term, for a little bit longer, so that it doesn't feel totally transient, and so that, you know, we do build up a culture and ethos that sort of lasts long term, so that I don't have to make new friends every 2 years, because I make friends slowly. Genuinely. So, you know, I'm hoping we'll get a next trip. Theo has been for a long time.
The sort of main church agenda, if you like, of being evangelism is to be able to bring people along. And I know, not that it's not a good thing, but a lot of my friends, if someone saw a Christian waving a flag in the appreciation of God, they'd run for the hills. How do you enable people to, enable the church to be able to bring people along, but still accommodate if someone wants to wave a flag?
Yeah, so that would be an interesting thing, isn't it? So when we're trying to think about what we do and what we don't do, some of them might say, let's imagine a scenario where somebody says, I've got a friend who will only come to the sort of church where they wave flags, and we're thinking, oh my goodness, none of my friends will come to any church where the flags are waved. And that will be an interesting thing to think about. And we'll be back to that discussion of, are we trying to do too much? Or are there ways in which we actually say, actually flag waving is too much in that direction, so we can't do that. But actually, there are other ways in which we can make people that might like flag waving feel part of things without actually flag waving. And not talking about the very small but it might or not be down to flag waving. So we just have to think, quite measurably about that. Or think in terms of actually, we might just have a pattern of slightly different meetings. I mean, there's a whole number of solutions. But also,
if you like, once a month, a toned down service that was sort of accessible to bring people along to, whereas other ones that.
And I can think of churches that do that, for instance, in the style of music. Mm. 1 week, this is a jazz week this week, and then it's a more contemporary feel the next week, and then the next week afterwards, actually, it's much more of a traditional style than normally.
Jazz could be contemporary.
I know. I'm trying to.
And I think some of this is what we're saying. It's good to say things really simply sometimes.
Yep.
And I think the basic premise is that whoever comes here feels really, really welcome. And I think people, they can sense that, they can see through that. So one of the friends that I've got that I would like to bring to this if I decide to do it, she came to Grounded a couple of times. And the next day, she said to me, I just said to her, what do you think of Grounded? And she said to me, she's not a Christian, she said, you just feel really wanted. And I thought, I just couldn't believe it. So there's, and God works through these things. And it's about us being outward looking and just making people feel welcome.
It's really important, isn't it? Because we could have a brilliant jazz piece of contemporary jazz music. But actually, if the person likes just actually nobody says hello, they're unlikely to come back.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's not a question so much, it's just a comment. My worry about creating an experience is, where's the depth? Where's the spirituality? Yep. And that's what I think that a kind of great experience that you go away and think, wow, that was an amazing performance, whatever, is kind of empty in a way. So it's balancing it within a sense that there's something distinctive that will draw people to come back, not just
And that's probably quite a good place then. So let's think about what are the things that make Emmanuel Bristol hopefully as a family church as distinctive. I'm hoping that one of the things we'd say is clear and faithful, engaging Bible teaching. I want to remind us that that's a non-negotiable. The other thing that is interesting that people always comment on, particularly unbelievers when they come to Emmanuel, is the question time. And an environment where you are able and feel able to ask questions, and with that to be part of things. And I think the other thing that people have said about Emmanuel, which has been encouragement, not all the time, we've got to say that we haven't always succeeded, but people do say that we are a friendly and welcoming church where, the sort of relationships that help us thrive in life happen, and we want that to be happening as well. As well as prayer, and all those just cool Bible things. So, the danger is we go worry about, we walk out the door worrying about the flag waving and not excited about those key things and reaching out to the friends that we know need to know the gospel in sort of subtly different ways. We're going to pause there because it'd be great to pray together. It's quite hard to realise it's going to do that comfortably, so we're going to pray uncomfortably because, as we already know, everything's going to be uncomfortable, including prayer now. So find two or three people to pray with. It might be good just to share, you know, where you're at and what you want prayer for. Do that relatively briefly, and then let's just pray for everything we've talked about tonight, for God's wonderful sovereignty and provision over all things. Faithful.